live from the Ghost Hunter Store. Brought to you by the Shadowlands, South Jersey Ghost Research, and the Ghost Hunter Store. Here's some paranormal straight talk with your hosts, Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's a live show. I know that's a little unusual for us, but we're back again. We figured out some more stuff, and so far there's been no, look, I got past the big hump of there, turning all the stuff off. So no little trip-ups, no little errors.
No glitches, hey.
No glitches so far. So the building's going to crash down around us in a second. Marty's here with me, of course, as usual, and we also have three people from SJGR here with us, too. By the way, me and Marty are members of SJGR as well. This is like a forum for SJGR, as well as the Ghost Hunter Store, as well as the Shadowlands, and anything else paranormal. But we have Chris, Maureen, and Sharon here from SJGR. I keep forgetting the name. It's bad. I had to think. Yeah, all the group's initials start out running together, and I don't want to say the wrong combination and say we're from a different group. There should be registration, I think, for group names now. Some sort of, like, international body that you can only, and any complicated long initial names need to be, like, registered and then banned, anything comes close. Because, I mean, you can't even tell what part of the country you're from, really. I mean, we know SJ is South Jersey, South Jersey. But, I mean, I'm sure SJ could mean some other section of some other state or city all over the country.
San Jose.
Exactly. San Jose. San Jose Ghost Research. Say right there. That'd be that easy. See, that it shouldn't be that easy. Because you would want people to think their initials used to stand for something when there was not a lot of groups out there.
Like a registry. A national register.
Exactly, where you register all the groups under one thing and everyone can look up the groups and everything. People try to do that, but it never really takes off.
And if a name is taken, they can't have it.
Yeah. Well, there are people that look for names. I had a group in here the other day, and they were actually looking to make sure they weren't taking somebody's name out there. But not all groups do that. They just they pop up and disappear so fast that how can you keep track of them?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there Eric's group? Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another Dust Till Dawn somewhere?
Yeah.
In another part of the country? But I think they were defunct. That's the thing, too. You get these people that they start the groups, they put a website up, but they paid in advance. See, I pay my websites by at the most 2-year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the more you pay, the cheaper you get. So you get these people who they get the bundle deals where you sign up for like 5 to 10 years and you pay like $5 per year for your internet. So now that website you put up there for your group, even though your group lasted about 6 months when it disintegrated, is now up for like 10 years. And it's hard to tell which groups are active and which groups aren't. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did 250 cases last year. And I mean, that we handled, that not actually investigated, but that came through, going to the questionnaire count and everything else.
Well, that's incredible.
And we're probably up even higher this year. And if you look at our webpage, we haven't actually put any cases up really for like 2 years.
It's at least 2 years.
Now the front page, the updated page, does say like July something 2012, but like that doesn't tell you what we updated. So if you're looking for stuff, so we are going to try to get more cases up there so it actually looks like we can share the more recent stuff. I mean, 2 years ago in ghost hunting, think of all the equipment that we're using now that didn't even exist yet. It wasn't even a thought in someone's mind. And now we got all the videos of like using the REM pods and the E-pods and the temp pods and all that kind of stuff that we're getting the communications and everything.
Yeah, the personnel meter was the big thing 2 years ago.
Yeah, the green screen. Yeah. So you couldn't even videotape that because it whited everything out.
Yeah,
it was so bright.
It was out.
So 2 years is an eternity in this time. And if your group lasts 2 years, congratulations. You've been around longer than 2 years because you've already beat the odds. The odds are we got another member slowly walking in.
Hey, Gavin, how you doing?
How are you?
So we're doing another roundtable discussion here, and we really didn't have anything to go with. The first thing, Maureen came up with an idea beforehand, and one of the things I wanted to discuss was I'm sure everybody's going to understand this, and everybody has this, whether you're like you do this professionally or you do this as a hobby or whatever. You're going back in the day. That's a say. I don't know how long the day was. For me, it's a say, like going back like 8-9 years ago. With the exception of one place that we paid to get in, and we paid because we were actually two places, I'm sorry. We were paying for the security guard to stay after hours with us, and we were paying to, both places we were actually staying for staff to pay for them to stay after hours. There was no like huge fees or anything. Right. And most of the time what we did was we would exchange, like, we'll give them a report, they'll get the publicity on the website, maybe we'll do a lecture for them, we'll do a fundraiser for any like historic site. Then the advent of all the TV shows came, and it brought a lot of attention to a lot of these locations. And some of them went one direction where they realized, hey, this is a really good fundraiser that we can bring in some money. And they didn't get greedy, but they started charging. And I'm okay with that. I really am. I don't mind putting money. I mean, we've gone places that we paid. I've seen Lighthouse, Lizzie Borden, historical places that, okay, it's worth
it. If it's helping them raise funds to keep the place up and keep, you know.
And we do events out of here. And we do events through the store and SJGR. Or South Jersey Ghost Research, not San Jose Ghost Research. they do. We all do events to raise money for historic locations, like Sharon's Library, the library company in Burlington, for example. Through all the fundraisers, just from what, is it 1 year's worth, was you were able to over a few
it's
years.
A couple of years, it's probably about three. Actually.
3 years of doing fundraisers and stuff, you were able to get new carpet for the building. Mm-hmm. I mean, so no one feels bad, and the people who even paid to go out, we kept the prices low and affordable, but all that money went to like a, you know, something good. So it was like it you can see it pay out in the end. Then you have the other places that have just asked for ridiculous amounts of money that are just like, it's greed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, people, because they've seen it on TV or it's a popular place, they're being taken advantage of.
Right.
It always goes against what I've always stood for with the store. I mean, we don't deal with huge markup. The computer always laughs at me, I think, when we put in a percentage of markup.
Yeah.
You get that little like laugh back at you. Like, that's all you're marking up? It's like the numbers don't really aren't supposed to start that low at the markup rate.
It says, do you really want to retire?
Yeah. Yeah, you have no future plans, right? So. But it's, I'd rather, you know, make it cheaper and affordable for everybody, and that's the whole idea. It's still, you know, that's why we try to do the events that way.
Well, that's like this place. You rent this place out to investigate. And people say, how much is it? And I say, $15 per person. And they're like, what? Are you sure? We don't need anything else? No, that's it. Just pay for me to sit here. That's all. Have at it.
Right. I mean, that's pretty much all you're covering. You're covering the hours of someone to sit here and be here with you that knows what they're doing. Pretty much if you have any questions, you know.
Light switches,
yeah, and we got to lock up afterwards. But I mean, other than that, it's that's all it really is. Mm-hmm. And we got a group coming in tonight and tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
So those of you who don't know, it's the second side of the store, 14 Church Street. The upper floors and the basement are set up just like if you would be in a regular house, you know, furnished that way and everything. So for people who can't find experience investigating a private house, you can come here for next to nothing and get the experience in a place. And if you messed up off and piss off the ghosts, that's okay. We'll mop up your mess. Yeah, that way that you don't have to worry about like you leave and the homeowners are calling you screaming at 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember mopping up a few messes.
Yeah,
here,
yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah,
a
but of course, the thing is, people get so used to having to pay exorbitant amounts of money to go into a place. And they figure if they're not paying that much, it can't be that much.
Then, yeah, you're not getting
that much activity.
Right.
So you get what you pay for
kind of
thing.
And, you know, I don't know if that's one of the reasons. There was a paranormal convention coming up in Gettysburg in August that I was going to be a speaker at that just recently got canceled. Mm-hmm. And I think it was partially because they weren't breaking even with the costs and getting enough, like, people turnout. Now, in March, there's a huge one there, Phenomenology. Where it's actually one more day, it's 1 day longer, and the thing's like sold out, it's crammed full of people. They seem to be doing very well, and I'll be back there next year, and I'm going to be speaking there well, last time I checked, doing. So actually stepping up a notch, you know, starting to do that. Okay, our sound's going in and out.
That's because you keep turning your head.
Oh, maybe that could be it. Let me move the mic closer, too. Because as I talk and look at people, that could be it. But this is in the same hotel in Gettysburg. It's during the summer months, and they weren't able to pull it off. But they were charging a little bit less, and the marketing was a little different. It was marketing towards, like, ghost hunters instead of the general public. And you could see, like, the difference. They weren't able to pull in that extra money. Even some of the fundraisers that you see in the same place every time, like Fort Mifflin, mm-hmm. the prices range from, like, I know a couple of the events were $250 to get in for,
yeah,
like, for like 6 hours or so. But then other events,
yeah,
that you go there, they're, you know, $40 or $50 to get in. And yes, it depends on who's there.
Right.
And I guess, like, star quality, and if that's what you're paying for to go see somebody, that's something different. That's, you know, that's entirely up to you. I guess the price of, well, we pay $200 to see Paul McCartney, Maureen, as you like make that face. So we pay $200.
Paul McCartney's so worth every time.
So
I
mean, like, some people would be like looking at you like, going, $200 for a concert, really? You could just buy the CD and listen to it. You know, he's got live CDs. The same thing.
The energy's different.
Right, but for some people who are the fans, that's their thing. That's what they're paying for. They're paying for that. But that's what.
Yeah, they want to investigate with, you know, the people from tech, or the people from.
Right. Yeah, I don't even. I don't know what if Ghost Adventure. I know Ghost Adventures does events too, but I don't think they've had one around here where I've actually seen what the prices are.
No.
But I'm sure they're going to be comparable to TAPS. So the higher level the show, or the more fan base the show has, the larger amount they can charge. And there's no problem with that. I'd like to see them. I assume that they're giving some back to the location.
You
Otherwise,
would,
the location wouldn't be doing it. You know, I hope they're giving a nice, we usually do 50-50. Or with SJGR, we just tell the places, give us a donation.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they think is fair. Now, some places give us 10%, some places give us 50%. It doesn't really make a difference because we're a nonprofit group and everything helps.
Right.
Some libraries give us a stipend for coming out and doing a little lecture for them. We don't ask for that at all.
No.
Other ones, but they already get the funds to have these lectures because it brings people out to the library. Other libraries don't give us anything, never have. We've been going for like 14 years, and that's fine. We still go back because we're not doing it for the money. But that, yeah, the money's nice for a nonprofit. And we don't charge for those lectures. They're free to come in. I think the whole thing is, it's going to sound odd coming from sitting in the middle of a ghost hunter store, but it's gotten a little commercialized, and it's got a little greed has gotten too much.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the trend is bucking the other way, an extreme turn, where places are saying, and we just had this discussion at a recent meeting we were at with a historic location about someone complaining at a historic location about all the ghost hunters coming out every week and paying their money. Yeah, not paying their money. All the ghost hunters coming out every week, and we have to make ourselves available and be there and open up for them. They're paying to come in.
Mm-hmm.
The place is making money on nights they would be closed, and we're talking into the hundreds of dollars they're making.
Yeah.
On nights that they would be closed. So
and
if you get a
and
nice.
Some historic places are struggling right now with their regular clientele coming in. I mean, they don't have the people coming in during the day, so this is what's keeping them afloat.
And, you know, just throwing numbers out there, for example, you know, like, say, an average place, it may be, for a daytime, you can go in during daytime to walk around a museum, it might be like $5 to $7, $8.
Mm-hmm.
At night, they would charge you $40 to go in and do the investigation. Well, that's, you know, that's four people. That's a family of four coming in during the day, at the very least, to make up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hitting it with each individual person at night. So why would you suddenly be opposed to that? I mean, this person was talking like it was a nuisance that, like, oh my God, they come there and they bring all this money and they give us we probably make like 30 or 40% of our annual income from them now. Yeah, that's like the read between the lines stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a bother. Well, now we're getting now the other places that they don't want to be known. We'll do the TV shows. We'll allow ghost groups to come in and ghost hunt. We'll hold seances. We'll do all different other kinds of things. Have psychics come out and give lectures there. but we don't want like ghost events there. Exactly. What?
What
I'm sorry. What?
Like ghost events?
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Let me tap the mic. Maybe I sound bad. Why? I'm sorry. I didn't get that. No, we want to be known as a historic place. Okay, then why did you go on the international well-known TV show then? And then have people come out for years and then all of a sudden saying, I mean, once the genie's out of the bottle, you're not going to unhaunt the place. Okay, so you're not going to suddenly not be known as a haunted place anymore. You already let that out. You're probably in books, too. Mm-hmm. We started looking up places, you know. Why would you go on, just to switch around? And then why would you turn away people who are ghost hunters? When did we become... See, and the problem, I think, is, and you know, yes, we're still blamed probably in a lot of parts of the country for whenever there's tombstones desecrated in a cemetery, it has to be the weirdos that go out at night in the cemeteries and stuff. It has to be them. It can't be the kids drinking and the vandals.
The buildings broken into that are abandoned, it must be...
It has to be the real ghost hunters. It can't mm-hmm. be just kids that were probably going to be breaking into the building anyway.
Right.
Ghost gave them an excuse. Yeah, but it was a good place to go drink and party, too, you know, or whatever else they're going to do.
Yeah.
Judging by the graffiti, like when places of Penhurst where people have broken in, it doesn't seem like they were doing much ghost hunting there.
I'm pretty sure they weren't.
And we don't usually bring spray paint with us on most investigations, so, I mean, it wouldn't be something that is a normal tool to bring with you. So I'm pretty sure those places like that broken into were more or less for the thrill of the...
And I don't know about you, but I know when I go into a historic place, especially if I haven't been there, not only am I ghost hunting, but I'm reading. I'm looking at, you know, the artifacts they have there and reading and trying to learn a little bit about the place. So it's like twofold. You get both worlds there.
And not to mention that most ghost hunters are aware of it, the tie-in with history.
And they are into history. Yeah.
Yeah, but there is no separating.
You can't have
ghosts and history are
all along.
Right. They're separate. They are the same topic.
They are the history.
You know, mm-hmm. Kathy, we do your museum with it. You're on the board there with the Grand Army of the Republic Civil War Museum in Philly, and yeah, we do fundraisers for you guys too. The group has, the store has, but I mean, do you think that interferes with the way people perceive that when you? You still, it hasn't like stopped your normal Civil War guys from coming in.
No, it hasn't stopped anything. No. And if it was in a better neighborhood, we'd have more ghost hunts.
Yes, it's
events.
But I think it's a lot of people who probably have even been out there during the ghost hunts weren't aware
that it was even there.
Right.
Because
right.
it's not in the historic district of the city where the tourists normally go. It's in another part of the city. Mm-hmm. So it would be one of the places we do. Gabriel Davies Tavern. Like I always tell everybody the first time we go there. You know, I worked as a cop in that town 2 months before I found that place. Mm-hmm. And we even had one of our attendees that was coming to the last event. We just ran there for the store. He was 4 blocks away and couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And there's signs now. You know? He was actually standing at one building where the sign was actually
at. He was at the corner.
Right.
Yeah. He was right at the corner.
He said to go to the end of the road and he would have found it. But I mean,
well, they even paved the road. Yeah.
Right. And how many people say, oh, you know, we came to this ghost hunt tonight and I didn't realize this place was here.
Right.
I can't wait to come back during the day to look through things.
Right.
That's what exactly.
Right.
I mean, I went back to Fort Mifflin to actually look around at everything.
Mm-hmm.
During the day, because I had been there like 4 times at night before I had never seen everything with the lights on. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen like any of the buildings, any displays, because we always had complete lights out. So
yeah.
People do that, and then there's more. That's actually more money because you pay to go in. Then it's great advertising for them, and I can understand if they never went down that road. They never opened up to saying that they were haunted or they never let TV shows come in or anything like that, that's a different story. There's people that have, like, that legend about their business or their location, and they just poo-poo it all the time and just forget about it. But, like, the places that accept it and go on TV shows and promote it, talk to authors of books, and let people come out and do that, all of a sudden, this midway, it's like, that to me, I become insulted. For like, I guess the ghost hunting community, they're saying we're not good enough. We're not all the money that we've raised for you. All of a sudden now isn't good enough, and you're looking at us like we're kind of, now we're freaks, unwanted, and we're doing something bad
mm-hmm.
to the the history of the building or the you know,
PR.
Yeah, we're hurting your building. Mm-hmm. You know, we're taking away from it somehow.
I mean, how about with you, Sharon? There was a couple times we picked up on spirits that we didn't realize were there, and you were able to look into it and see that, you know, different things that you weren't aware of happened in that area. So we added to the history of the building.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. How many places can you do that to? You know, it's, and why wouldn't they want that? Be able to add to the history.
Because the more you know about the building, the more you know about the history, I mean, it puts the puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
But just from, I'm just looking from a strictly, you know, financial point of view. Historical places are, I mean, there's places like Valley Forge that have been struggling for years.
Mm-hmm.
I know we offered years and years ago, I mean, probably like 10 years ago when I first saw an article in the, like, the Inquirer about the Washington's headquarters leaking. That they thought it was going to be so bad they were going to have to condemn the building. And we offered to come out there and do some, like, ghost hunts and help them raise money. And I was like, you know, I must have had an upside-down cross or swastika on my forehead, the way they were looking at me. You know, it's like, yeah, exactly. I don't know. It was like, really? I mean, I have three heads and everything else. I mean, it was...
Well, what you don't understand sometimes, too, is when you have somebody walk through your door and say, oh, you need this,
how many
people come in there and say, I can do a fundraiser for you, and it's for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't ever get anything for free. And when you have a group like this that has this kind of a history and you offer it because they've never heard of it, they will look at you like you have three hits because they have hit so many slam doors and all of a sudden have something put in their lap. It's too easy. Maybe
that's what it is. I don't know. They've never gone down that road with the haunting stuff, so that didn't bother me. But there's other places that, like, that are known, and when you offer to do something for them, or just try to get access, even if you say, like, look, we'll compensate you or whatever, now they're turning around and acting like, you know, from 2 years ago, they may have been the ones that were, like, robbing you blind, you know, per hour to come in,
mm-hmm.
and now they're, we don't need that anymore. It's going to take it. It's like you can't undo what's already been done. You've already, those shows that are going to air in perpetuity, and they're on DVDs, they're on YouTube. It's, you're never taking that back. You are now a haunted location, world famous.
Well, when you change, personnel on the boards and stuff, that religious beliefs and stuff like that, that steps
right.
in. But somebody has to be able to step up and say, yes, but look at the money we were making
right.
and what we were able to do up to this point, and now you're going to shut all that down?
Right. I'd like to see, like, the pros and cons for the argument.
There is actually one other consideration, and I know this just from doing the scheduling before Sharon took it over, that when we were dealing with some certain locations, they had to have other groups in that maybe didn't treat the location with respect. They didn't treat the location fairly, so that they felt like they got burned.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes us any different?
Right.
You know, why should they take a chance on us?
Well, that's what I offered, you know, we've offered places, that's why we keep the references. I mean, you think of the buildings we've done. We've like the Grand Army and the Civil War Republic. We've done Betsy Ross House. We've done the Pennsylvania Historical Society's house or building where you need to, I mean, that's key carded and code access to get in the different floors in the rooms, and you have to be accompanied all the time because there's actually, like, priceless artifacts and documents in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there twice. You know, that's one of the places we paid for the security guy to work, pay his overtime. But that, to us, that was worth it for the access we were getting.
Yeah.
And it still helped, so they don't have to pay the guy. Mm-hmm. We're still in a roundabout way helping a historic location. But that's why we keep that list of references. Because those other groups aren't going to have those same references, or if they burn their bridge going in. Yeah, so I think some people have to be more open to that. For individual things, but it's like the places that are suddenly now going the opposite way. Like, you know, we're back at a place again this year, the old Stonehouse Village in Washington Township. We're going to be doing a fundraiser there, and I don't know exactly what annual year this is, because there was 2 years that, because of the change in administrations in the township,
that
became a sore thumb for an embarrassing point that they didn't want to do, even though the event cost them nothing to do because it paid for itself.
And was an overwhelming success every
right.
time.
We averaged, the high point, I know, the last year we did it, we had 600 people there. And then the next year, the following year, they decided that they couldn't afford it, but it never cost them anything. So that made no sense. It's like if something pays for itself, you can afford it, obviously. And it only brings in people to, again, another, for even at maybe into just going over to next county, an obscure historical place. In the daytime, you can drive by it. At nighttime, you can definitely fly by there and never notice it's there because look at how it sits. But it's a really, really cool, interesting historical place. Mm-hmm. It's multiple, each building's got a different history. So it's a whole bunch of buildings. One stone house is original, but the other four buildings, four buildings have been moved there, but they're all historical. You have like a train station, you have the old church, you have the post office, and you have the Clay House. And then the old stone house. So you got five houses. But the four were moved there. So it's this little nice park that they've really cleaned up. And all the buildings are well maintained. And each one's got its own little history to it. Why wouldn't you want to continue raising funds for that? But they not only shut down that, they shut down, like, they took away the administrator. They took a lot of stuff. They were just willing to just not put any funds to that. It was like an extra thing, even though school groups used to go out there. They used to do the living history out at the old stone house. I know that's how I know the kitchen works. Was I was out the very first time I ever went out there to meet with the lady who runs it, Adele. They were out there having the lot was full of school buses, and the kids were all out there, and they were cooking up everything out in the kitchen and everything. So it was really cool. I had never seen it, and I never knew that place was there. I would have never found it that day if I didn't see the school buses.
Yeah. So it's our event was actually paying for their Christmas events, which they have at least two, which make absolutely no money for them, but it was an annual thing that they felt that they had to have. And when they canceled our events, they still had the Christmas events, they lost money on, and then they couldn't pay for them because they didn't have our event. So,
there was a couple people that did took one of the books, the Haunted New Jersey books, and went riding around last summer down to the shore, different places. They went up and said, if you're interested, and this is what we can do for Bridget and Mandy.
Bridget and Mandy, I think. Yeah.
Went out and if you're interested, here's a whole big pamphlet of what we can do and how we can help you. And there were a couple places that said we're not haunted. And, they looked at the book like, really? Because you're in here.
and you're actually quoted.
Yeah.
This is you, right?
Yeah.
So it's
okay.
Well, I mean,
whatever you say, they laugh.
Some places are stuck with, like, Cape May. That's a tradition.
Oh, yeah.
There's certain places you get in Cape May that you can investigate if you know somebody or if you have enough reputation. There's other places you get in and investigate as long as you never speak of it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find swim with the fishes and stuff. And there's the other ones who are in every book, but they're not haunted because that's going to scare their clientele. The very first time we did the Windward House, that was our very first place we ever did. And she was the first person to ever say yes. And when we went there, we asked her, where can we go next? Because we had already stopped at three places that looked at us like we had three heads and stuff like that. So she goes, she sent us to another place, the Cobbles by the Sea, who said yes. First she said no, and then she was like looking at her stuff and everything. She goes, well, since you're here, you want to take the tour? And as she was walking us around, showing us everything, she started telling us, and this is the room where the people see this. And we didn't get a tour. We got a ghost tour. And then by the time, this is the lady who said no.
Yes.
And, like, we were actually weren't sure we wanted to go on a tour with her because she seemed like very, like, okay, I guess so. Or, by the end of the little tour of all the floors, we came back down. She was asked, so what dates are you interested in? Never said yes. just started asking us for dates. But the lady at the Windward House had told us that, like, she said that something like 90% of the places in Cape May are haunted, and probably about 15 to 10% will admit it and talk about it.
That's true, because some of the places down in the city where I'm from, they have haunted houses, and I've talked to them about it. They're my friends, I know about it, and I'm like, well, can we come in? And they, oh no, because they're very protective over them. They don't want their ghosts to go away. I said, well, we're not going to make them go
go away.
We're just going to talk to them. Yeah.
We don't have to bring the ghost traps and the ray guns in. I mean, we can leave them in the truck. So, I mean, we don't have to, you know, put them in the containment cell.
Exactly, but they're very protective.
We don't have to come down with the truck that goes,
right, exactly.
Play the Ghostbusters theme song.
With the holy water and squirt gun blazing.
I mean, that might play part of it, too, I think. But it's just weird how it's like it's turned, we're almost... Even though the shows, there's more and more paranormal shows coming out. There's now, I'm not sure if it aired yet, but I saw the little thing pop up on Sci-Fi. Jack Osborne's Haunted Road.
Oh, the Highway.
Yeah, that's out there. Yeah. Yep.
I know there's a couple of shows that are still in the...
School Spirit. There's another School Spirit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And there's
one.
Tons of development, speaking from experience of being on the long-term development list. That never seems to end. But it's like... that's why I just need a shirt.
In development.
That's it.
The development's already been taken.
We'll get that.
I'm in development. But... Now, even though we're still like peaking at the popularity, how some places are turning their back, or we've become now taboo again in some instances. It's weird.
I don't know if they get inundated with group after group after group trying.
Well, that's what the one guy from a place we were talking about, talking with, when he was complaining. But that he's complaining, but like I said, one Friday and Saturday, one weekend, with groups of maybe four or five people, probably equals what they do the entire week.
Exactly.
A traffic, money-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on his end of it, who else is he the only one there every Friday and Saturday?
He's
night?
Never
yeah.
there.
Huh. Well,
that's what that makes actually no sense.
In that case.
He's never there. It's always a curator or a ranger or something like that. So it's most of the time, not all of them are being paid. I know one person in particular who's usually there is on their own time because they enjoy it.
That's me.
So, you too.
Yeah, you do the same thing.
Yeah, you're on your own time.
And it's money.
Kathy's there on her own time for the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so that's probably more common than we actually think of. So it's they're not putting, it's costing them nothing. Why the switch? Why suddenly look at us like the whole taboo thing? It makes no sense because it's the popularity. And who's out there saying, oh my God, we're getting too many people coming in here? Yeah. I mean, the traffic is just too much. I'd rather have less business.
Yeah, can we
stop the business from coming in? Please, no longer. We're not even going to make flyers up. Can we take ourselves off the map so no one can find us? I mean, what's next? I mean, that's not crazy.
Can we just lock the door and stare at people from the window?
Hey, sorry, you can't come in. Sorry. No. It makes no sense.
No.
Because the whole reason you have the historic location is so people can go in and enjoy them. Yeah. And does it make a difference if people are going in and willing to pay more to sit in the dark in it? But they're still learning the history of the place.
Mm-hmm. I don't think people get that. I really don't think people get to the fact that we're still learning history. That the spirits we're talking to, we're probably learning a little bit more than they have written down somewhere.
I'm willing to make a confession about the GAR. I don't know how many times I've been there. Probably like 10, 12 or more. It's definitely in double digits.
Yeah.
I have probably spent a total of one full investigation actually investigating there, if you add up the time I've investigated there. The rest of the time, I've been browsing and looking at all the stuff in there. Mm-hmm. I can't help myself. You have all the displays that turn around with all the little things. There's that little, there's that some little ball or something from the Sitting
ball?
Bull. Like Sitting Bull and Custer brought it back or something. It's in one of the displays. And there's that patch of skin from the epidermis from Garfield.
It's on loan to the motor museum right now.
But, I mean, that's like, that stuff is like cool. The Deadline from Andersonville, the Post from Andersonville.
Well, Gabriel Davies, when they sit and they'll bring out the pictures for us, and we can sit and look through the pictures, and they bring back the letters that these people wrote back and forth and the cards and stuff. I love listening to that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps the spirits come through and talk, but I love sitting and listening to it because that's history you can't get in a book.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And that's what I think you get. That's why I tell people when we do our cemetery trainings, when we go out and we look at all the graves, not only do we do the cemetery trainings, we also do all our cleanups and everything to restore them. But, I mean, when we're walking around, we're not just walking around, you know, we're knocking over headstones and, you know, peeing on graves and, you know, smashing bottles and around. Mm-hmm. We're picking up stones that have fallen over, the flags that have fallen over because the perpetual care, I'm doing the quote, you know, air parentheses around perpetual care, has failed, or the guy with the lawnmower just took all the flags out and ran them over. And, you know, so we pick all that stuff up. We pick up trash. We clear off things that you can't see. Graves from, obviously, graves from the 1800s where the people aren't coming anymore. There's no family anymore. We're sitting there and taking time to, like, in the dark, it's a little difficult to read the inscriptions on some of them. We're taking that time to do that. You know, to be honest, I'd rather get like, you know, screwed over paying more.
Yeah.
Overpriced places. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather see that the prevalent thing than to insult us in the other way by saying you're not good enough to come in here anymore.
Yeah, you're giving us too much money, attention.
Exactly. And it's because with no explanation, like, what are we doing wrong? What did we do wrong?
Right.
I mean,
especially when we haven't even been out there yet.
Right, exactly.
I know, like, last time Kathy and I investigated together, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but well, it's a haunted place across from Fort Mifflin. And we spent probably about 20 minutes looking at this one room, all the different artifacts that they had dug up. And we were going back and forth, oh, look at this, oh, look at that. And Bill, who was one of our assistant directors, was like, yeah, you know, I come down here during the day, I bring my family, and he was, like, making comments about the different things, and, yeah, you got to come down and visit during the day, so.
Oh, Red Bank.
Okay. I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't sure.
Well, we're going to be doing a presentation in October there.
Yeah,
we went before the committee and council or whatever to get the approval, so.
Yeah, but I mean, it's,
I had to get my insurance rider done to cover it, so I'm pretty sure it's okay. It's an official. But it's I knew Red Bank from the Cub Scouts because the Cub Scouts took me out there. That's how I know that. I don't know if you guys got down far enough to see the statue of the guy. Everyone should know his name. There's a statue dedicated to this guy who he ran the same distance Paul Revere rode, but he did it on foot. And to tell the British are coming.
Yeah,
Paul Revere, who didn't ride alone anyway. Yeah. I mean, you don't know, it was a doctor with him too, wasn't it? Or a doctor riding the same thing with Paul Revere. Or they went out the same directions or different directions.
Different directions.
But he wasn't the only one out that night. He is the one, because he's the one who helped write the history of it. He's the one because famous.
Yeah, when you write the book.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you see,
do the tin carvings, you know, or tin engravings of it and everything else.
Jonas Cattle was just a regular guy. I mean, he wasn't anybody spectacular or famous.
Well,
Revere had some standing in his community in Boston.
Right.
This guy didn't. He was just a worker, you know, a farm worker in the area.
Running the same distance, saying the British are coming, impresses me. All
you get is a little pamphlet. There's pamphlets of him.
But I remember that. Years ago, it was probably during the bicentennial. They were like doing like local historical sites. They took us there with the Cub Scouts, and there was a big spread in the paper about the guy and everything.
Okay.
But like when I was just there the last time, I didn't get down far enough to see where his statue was, it's still there. Okay. It was there at that point. But I remember my parents used to take us down to Red Bank Battlefield.
Yeah, we used to go down for the church picnics and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I mean,
we go down now for the reenactments.
Yeah.
That are just amazing.
Oh, Fort Mifflin too has the reenactments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So. Seeing all the, you know, how many reenactors are into the ghost stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Go to Gettysburg and ask that question.
Yeah, because I'm sure.
Some of them become reenactors so they can go
so they
there.
Can do it.
Yeah,
that's true. You know what? That's an easy way to get into some of the forts.
Maybe we should try it.
Start dressing up and walking around.
I've heard rumors from people who are, you know, may be reenactors, may not be reenactors.
Maybe.
Okay. Don't want to pin it down to anybody in particular. That, you know, if you're on the battlefield at Gettysburg after dark, you're pretty much, you're getting arrested or you're at least getting a ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in trouble.
Right.
They don't tolerate the ghost hunters at all. But apparently if you're a reenactor, especially if you're somebody that they know, a known reenactor, and you are in authentic clothing, they will let you slide. And they probably won't ask you to leave. Because they allow some of the reenactors to actually stay out there, and they consider becoming one with their character or feeling what it was really like to be there overnight, And I've heard from more than one that they've had encounters with the rangers out there and never had an issue.
Yeah, I've heard from a couple.
And they've actually gotten some ghost hunters off the hook because they said they saw them in trouble and came down and said, oh, they're with me. Mm-hmm. I was just showing them something out here, and they got off the hook, which I've known police officers get tickets out there. There's not even that professional courtesy mm-hmm. extended. Like, they don't care. You're out there after dark. You got a camera in your hand. You look like you're doing anything. Ghost hunting. Boom. Here you go.
You're done.
Well, the problem with Gettysburg is that they've had so much vandalism with the monuments at nighttime, and they blame the ghost hunters.
Yeah.
Of course.
And of course, you know, and it's not the ghost hunters. It's probably people right there in the town that don't like the tourism.
Or the kids in the town that grew up in the town.
Just the kids, too. Yeah. You know, I mean, the teenagers are, you know, they're
well, it's not
too old to stay home. No. Well, they're too old to stay home and too young to drive a car. You know?
Yeah, I don't even blame the teenagers. There's just many idiot adults, too, that go out there and have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
You know, and there's monuments from all over. Right. You know, so I can easily see people from, you know, you still see people from, I was going to say the South.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Sharon's here. I can see you know, people coming up from both sides, north and south. Yeah, little, you know, coming from the local bar, driving through and seeing a monument for the other side, and you know, maybe a little, you know, side swipe with the car, back your truck up into it, kind of little thing.
The
seems funny at the time, you know.
Doing the rebel yell.
Yeah. Exactly.
Won't wander out of some of the campsites because they got lost, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of probably thousands of other reasons that if you listed for vandalism, we're probably not even on the list, you know. Of course, there's probably some guy that ghost hunts, too, and did something, and that's what they look at. Yeah, just like they look at the vandals. Yeah, okay, they had a case of beer, you know, and they were, like, sitting there drinking, but they had a print-up sheet of from, like, the Shadowlands saying this place was haunted. So they decided to go in there and party in there just in case the ghost would show up.
Yeah, check it out.
Well, to me, were they ghost hunting? No, they were drinking inside instead of in the woods that night. Because that place seems scarier than it would be drinking in the woods, and less likely probably to get caught. What was your? You had an idea you wanted to talk about when we first got here.
Oh, I was saying that we've been meeting people, both my clients and at meeting, at lectures, that are born with natural sensitivities, like really very sensitive, and they just don't know how to handle it, and they just seem really some sort of counseling or guidance or something. They don't need a team to come out and investigate because they themselves are.
I think we
sensitive.
We probably encounter that a lot, more than even that we realize. But I think a lot of groups probably encounter that and don't realize that's the situation. Mm-hmm. Especially if people, it's the whole ghost that followed me thing. That's usually a tip off.
Yeah.
When. The only ghosts that are following you is if you have a spirit that's attached to an item that you keep bringing with you, so it's a haunted object, or the relatives, because they're going to come anywhere you go. They're not attached to a location. If something else seems like it's following you, and it's like a normal, benign, human spirit kind of normal activity, then it's not the same ghost. Because they were at that other place for a reason. You probably didn't give them a good enough reason to leave that place. If you start having the same feelings or the same kind of things, that's just the way your sensitivity shows up. So when you start seeing that pattern, people automatically say, it's the same thing happened to me. I must be being followed by the same ghost.
Yeah, it's just similar
and
energy.
It's probably like, I would probably say like eight out of 10 times, it's the people who are sensitive. Mm-hmm. And you're right, in those situations, normally, and now you got the groups out there, unfortunately, this is what they do. They want to go investigate regardless. And while there might be no harm in that in most cases, you have to make, as long as you're letting the people know that this is what's probably going on here.
Right.
Yes, you're sensitive. You're picking up spirits everywhere you go. So you do have spirits here. Explain it to them. Kind of go through. Yeah, there's tons of books out there of psychic development, psychic protection. Judy Hall has a lot of good books on psychic development, psychic protection. That's just one off the top of my head that I like. But there's tons of books out there that they could, like, give them a little reading list and then investigate the ghosts in their house. You know, we, because of the caseload, or just simply can't handle the caseload. We have, if we can actually go in and solve a problem during our what we call a preliminary visit of sitting down with them and ascertaining what's going on and figure out, okay, well, it seems like this is what's going on. You're probably more sensitive to this. Give them some things to do. Give them a little reading list. Again, try doing this stuff. Maybe taking a class on psychic protection, setting your boundaries, all things like that.
I usually tell people to Google it. It's free to get started with, and then start to learn about yourself a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Learn about your, if you want to say gift or gift in the air quotes, depending on how some people look at it. But it's something that every group is going to encounter. The groups that I get concerned about are the ones who don't realize that's what they're encountering, and then maybe they do something to perpetuate or make the people think they're being followed by ghosts.
Right.
Now that person, because they listen to experts, they're going to think wherever they go that they're going to be tormented the rest of their lives. And that's where the whole fear factor takes over.
Pulled, and then they start pulling stuff in only because they're bringing that negative energy with them. So now they're pulling it in instead of it just being there and then just being sensitive to the environment around them.
Right, and that's another thing people don't realize, that it sounds pretty innocuous at first, that, okay, we're not really doing any harm by doing that. But, yeah, because you can actually draw stuff in. The more fearful the people become of something, and the more they believe that there's something there, the more likely that they can attract exactly what they're fearful of, something negative, into their house.
Right.
And we've just had two cases right in a row, really.
I just had somebody here today. That somebody told them that, there was something going on and it was negative and this and that, and they got them so frightened that they're pulling this energy in instead of pushing it away.
Well, look, we had a case 2 weeks ago. That's what it was, the person in the house that was causing the negative stuff in the house. And they weren't doing it on purpose.
No.
They were doing it out of anger, normal stuff that we get.
Human emotion.
Yeah, we get angry at people in our family. Yeah. You got a dysfunctional family. You just get, you have a brother or sister you fight with. All the time that builds up, but they weren't letting go of it. They were writing letters. They were putting it down into physical things. And what they were doing was they were attracting all that anger and that negativity to themselves, and they were feeling it. And the other people that were in the house who actually were sensitive were picking up and seeing like dark shadows and shapes following them around. I was like, no wonder you're a magnet for this stuff. You're a battery for this negative stuff,
right?
Because you're the energy source. And when we tell them, okay, you can stop all this stuff that's going on in your house, the knocking, the banging, the dark shadows, all this stuff, by simply getting rid of the negativity and, maybe forgive and forget, or at least let it go, cut the cords, let that person go, let them off the hook, and really honestly forgive them.
Forgive yourself for being angry with them.
Yeah, both. The forgiveness goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
To yourself, too.
Yeah.
That will solve your problem. They look at us like, again, three-headed monsters. Because
they will find you don't want to be here, then leave. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like you guys are good ghost people. You're supposed to come out and get rid of the ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
you have to go and draw on the walls, or walk around with water and shoot it around and say prayers. And that's what works. It's not.
Well, that was the irony of that particular case. That was someone that was
they had paid.
They had paid someone $500 to come out and draw some symbols on the wall and sprinkle with holy water.
Well, I'm in the wrong business.
And tell me about it.
But in good conscience, could you do that?
No, absolutely not.
But this was a friend had recommended them, and then we're still in contact with them. But they're actually comparing, well, at least that guy did something. Yeah, but he paid him $500 and he drew on your wall and threw some water around.
And then you still had us come out.
Exactly. And then nothing changed.
Exactly.
We're giving you an easier, it sounds easier. It's probably it's the toughest thing. No one wants to look at themselves as the source of the problem. No one wants to say like, oh, well, I'm the one that's bringing the stuff in. But we do that to ourselves all the time.
And you say to the person, if you were willing to let someone, to pay someone to come in and do this and it didn't work, then why wouldn't you be willing just to give it a try? What's the worst that can happen? Nothing.
That's why we're always cautious on when we do the negative cases. Anything that we don't want the people that are might be more likely to hold on to it. Or some people really think the stuff's great and cool and interesting. so they're more likely to hold on to it. But there's other people that you just know that they'll hold on to the details. They'll get too emotionally involved with the clients. It happens to everybody from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you become compromised because now you're going to attract what they have to you. And now you've brought it on yourself. So it's like that's when people always wonder, like, what we always have that we have a sub team inside a team that goes out and just deals with that. It's like, well, how do you get on there? How do you do that? It's like, well, you kind of just find yourself in that position. There's really, it might be a case that you're meant to be on. It might be a case that you're already involved in,
right.
So the client feels comfortable with you, and then no other cases come up that you seem to, because there's just the reasons. It's not for everybody. That's why we don't, you know, years we didn't talk about even the whole community out there, with the exception of, like, Ed and Lorraine Warren were pretty much the only ones that were out there really putting it out there
and giving
the lectures, mm-hmm. and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And John Zaffis, he gave lectures too about, and going into that,
mm-hmm.
After many, 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 many years of experience. But, like, when we do our lectures, or we just recently started doing classes here about it, and just even classes for the group. And you still have to be cautious. You have to walk that fine line,
because
sure. You don't want anybody walking away, holding on to, like, carrying all this information out, and then suddenly becoming a magnet for it all from the top of them, because they don't let it go. I always tell them, just take this. It's information. It's good to have this.
Just know.
File it away.
Yeah,
file away. It's good to know. Yeah, exactly. Information is it's power, but don't, like, have that on the front of your mind.
Yeah, don't get up in the morning and look around every corner and go, did I just, ooh, was that a, ooh, did that happen because of, you know what, it's, you never know, first of all, and really to worry about it, you can't worry about it, you just have to have a healthy respect for it, and let it go.
We've had, I remember years ago, that's how, exactly what became a horror, because she was, wanted to be really involved with the negative cases. At that time, we were, this goes far enough back where we were still using other people to help us. We were learning. We had, like, John Zaffis, Adam Bly, other people that were coming and we were working cases with. And they were teaching us. And she got so paranoid about it. Like, she had, like, a flat tire one day. So she swore it was, like, a demon that, attacked her car. Then she lost her job. So it had to be the demon that, like, possessed her boss to fire her. I mean, every day it was something else. And it was like, eventually, I think she wound up, like, kind of just imploding and disappearing and becoming a non-part of the group. But I really think it's because whatever she was almost like summoning.
She was drawing.
Yeah, she was calling it to her without realizing it. It's like, let's be careful what you wish for, you know, because you could actually bring it to you. Fear is a very attractive scent, I guess, to the other side.
Yes, it is.
So when they know they can get you like that, why advertise your weakness? It's like no one walks around. The police officers don't walk around and go, like, right here. They shoot me right here or right here. This is like this will get right up under my body armor, you know?
It's
like,
you
know,
military
people don't like.
Yeah, it's a little too short over here, so you get me right here, too. You know?
The military don't like, they don't trade maps on each side saying, okay, well, here's our weaknesses and here's where we're not watching. And then you can hit us from this flank over here and you can totally overrun us in a second. Oh, well, thanks, because we're really weak on this side. You have no problem just coming right, walking right across. I mean, that's exactly what people are doing.
Yes, exactly what you're doing.
But it sounds silly to some people because it can't be that simple.
It does. I gotta hear that. You know, when I first started in the group and I started listening to you guys, I went, really? Because really? But and I watch when I teach classes and stuff. I put it out there to the people in front of me, and they give me the same look, like, yeah, okay, you're crazy. But it's really that simple. It really is that easy. I had students come in and they, on the way out, they had an accident. And they emailed me and said, if we did something wrong, we're sorry. And I said, I'm sorry. Did you listen to my class at all? I don't put that out there. Why would you even think that it came from me? Maybe it was just an accident, you know? But they took a circuit protection class, and so they were paranoid. They started mm-hmm. with the paranoia right away, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, something's after us now because we took this class, because we know how to protect ourselves, or we're learning how to protect ourselves. And that's where they went. They went right for it. And when they came back for another class, they went, nope,
That's probably the worst thing that people dealing with that, the negative aspect of it, deal with, is the paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are used to it struggle with it. So people who are not used to it, it's impossible to deal with, because you're always going to be looking over you. It's like being that, totally paranoid person. I know they're watching me. It's not whether question of it. Are they watching me? Are they being followed? Are the black helicopters over my house? It's like you know
they are.
They are.
But the thing is, does it make it worse having it out there? Like, it's more available to folks. You've got the movies and the TV shows. I mean, the movies about the more negative.
Well, those movies have always been out there, and people just take them as that. And I have to say, because one of the first cases I went on and I saw something happen that I've seen in the movies, and I went, wow, it's real.
So I think only we realize, if you do that stuff, we realize how real some of the stuff is,
mm-hmm.
and how funny some of the other stuff is. That's why some movies are scarier for us.
Yeah, most people just look at it and go, wow, really cool special effects.
I've heard people walk out of some movies that I was like almost threw up in. And like, well, that was a crappy rip-off of The Exorcist. And I'm like, I'm like white knuckled on the chair. I almost lost it in the middle of the movie.
The makeup on that demon wasn't all that good. It wasn't.
Like, I love that.
That's one of the ones I saw in my closet the other night. That was really pretty good.
So I've always had that fear too, that was going to get out there. I remember when Emily Rose came out. Because I thought that was like a really accurate, and it was based on a true story and everything. I remember calling John Zappas up going, like, we're going to have a problem. Because we went and saw it right when the weekend it came out. Every nut's going to be out, like, saying they got the demons in their closet and everything. And all the other people who are in this field, there's so many things we never really told people. They're going to realize are true now, and they're going to have all your ghost hunters. It's going to go great. I was like, calm down. And he was right. It was like, everyone thought it was a crappy movie, and that was it. And only,
I swear,
only
I remember
people,
you
only
talking about that at one of the meetings, too.
The Paranormal Activity movies,
how we can expect it in
very
lots of cases. Well,
when those movies came out, and a couple of my daughter's friends went out to see it, and they came back, and they were like, so, does that stuff really happen? I'm like, yeah. And they just looked at me like, no, it doesn't really happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes the truth works better, though. Because sometimes the truth is like, It works the opposite.
Yeah, they walked away going, "That she's
yeah,
she's
exactly.
lying.
She's just pulling my legs.
She's pulling my legs, trying to scare me." Okay.
Yeah, people don't really levitate or anything like that. That never happens.
It never happens.
So.
Okay.
And it's like, wink, wink, nod, nod. You know? And then they're okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look. See, we did talk about nothing really.
Stop. Oh, we got some good stuff out there. Come on.
I like the round table. They know format. The shows tend to make more entertaining and more a better conversation, because you get a lot of stuff out there, but with no actual. I don't know how to title the shows. I mean, when I put them up for podcast, I just put round table now, because like, what do we? I can't fit like every topic we put in the title.
But it's
different
when
you have
good.
A guest.
It's good because people put out there. Well, we don't think of right away to have as a topic. And obviously, people are thinking about it because
the shows we start off with no idea what to do. Why not always being the best shows? So, well, hey, thanks guys for coming in. Thanks everybody for listening. And if this is a podcast listener, then I'll try to keep putting the podcast up on a regular basis as long as they record correctly. Until next week. Well, I don't know. I think we may even have a guest next week. I'll have to look, but. If not, it'll be another roundtable. So either way, it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. So.